Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Thank you, guys. As you guys settle in, I just want you to grab your Bibles. Turn with me to John chapter 5 for a moment. I don't know how many of you guys have ever had a crazy idea of trying to fix something and then discover that you were in over your head. All the time. Remember a few years ago, I took apart a fishing reel with the idea that I would save the expense of sending it out, repairing it, and having it cleaned. Man, I was feeling awfully proud of myself when I put that baby back together. And then as I put it back together, I cleaned it, and just before I turned the handle, I hear some grinding, and all of a sudden, the reel comes to a complete stop. It jammed on me. Couldn't get it to go forward. Couldn't get it to go backwards. Obviously, I didn't put it together back this way that I took it apart. And for the life of you, I couldn't figure out what was causing this reel to give me such a headache at that moment. What was causing it to malfunction? And lo and behold, in there among all the rags that I had and the screwdrivers and all the instruments and tools I had to take that thing apart, I discovered a little missing clip. The clip that went on one of the parts that prevented or that enabled the reel to go back and forth. Aha! Eureka! I reassembled it, took it apart again, reassembled it, and it purred like a kitten. We all have something in our lives that's missing. Without it, we don't function as we were intended to function. Without it, we are incomplete. We may have our lives filled with many things, many parts, many pieces, but without the right thing, we all have this gnawing sense of emptiness. And that's really what I want to talk to you about this afternoon, this morning. Every person has this condition of emptiness, this sense of dissatisfaction, if you will. And we feel, even though our life is filled with many good things, we still feel unfulfilled, incomplete, as though something is missing. Many of us here today, in fact, might feel that sting. You might feel a certain sense of being disillusioned with life. And if you're like that, I want to tell you, you're not alone. Because everyone, at one point or another, has this void and this sense of emptiness. And it affects every one of us, and it affects everyone from every walk of life. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your economic level or your social level. It doesn't matter if you're tall or if you're short, if you're fat, if you're skinny, if you're young, if you're old, if you're employed or unemployed, if you're overweight or underweight. It doesn't matter if you're single or married. Every one of us has a sense that something is missing, that there's something more to life. And so today I want to talk to you about that. I want to look at two stories that reveal this pervasive condition, but also I want to offer you the solution to this problem, because we all have a sense that something's missing. The first one we're going to look at is a story of a man in John chapter 5. He was a man that was sick, he was lonely, he felt empty, until he had an encounter with Jesus. And we pick up the story in verse 1 of chapter 5 of John. It says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays, holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was a pool of Bethesda with five covered colonnades or five porches. There, it says in verse 3, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the different porches. One of the men, verse 5, jump to verse 5. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Say 38. 38. That's a long time. He was sick for 38 years. In fact, he was paralyzed for 38 years. And then when Jesus saw him and knew that he was sick for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? What kind of a question is that? We're going to talk about that, but he asked him the question. And the man answered like many of us answer when our wives call us to task. We don't answer the question directly. We circumvent the answer. It was a simple yes or no question, but he didn't give a simple yes or no answer. He gave a reason why he wasn't able to be healed. And he says, Lord, I can't, sir. Verse 7, because I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else gets there ahead of me. Tradition says, and some of your Bibles might actually include a footnote on this, but tradition says that there was an angel that would often stir the waters near this pool, in this pool. And when the angel stirred the water, the tradition says that the first person to jump into the pool when the waters began to be stirred was the first person to be healed. So the story goes. And so this person is basically, he's relating to Jesus, his experience. I've been here, Lord, for 38 years. And every time the water stirs, somebody else beats me to the punch. Somebody gets the item on sale just before me. They buy the last thing. Right? And so he's saying, Lord, the reason I'm this way, it's someone else's fault. And look at how Jesus responds. He told him, very matter-of-factly, verse 8, he says, stand up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Take your mat and walk. And it says that instantly at that moment, verse 9, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and he began to walk. I can imagine a little bit what that might have been like. Just, in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, here's a guy that everybody knows. So it's not like a guy that nobody knew. Then all of a sudden, okay, he's trying, you know, he's a snake oil salesman that you don't know if it's true or not. But all of a sudden, here's what you know. You know this guy. He's been around for a long time. You know he's paralyzed. When all of a sudden, you see him walking. You see him with his mat. Let me tell you, something like that will change your life, as it did to this man here. Right? But I want you to understand, look a little bit at what Jesus actually said. Because here's a man that needed healing, right? But there was no cure for his paralysis. There was no medicine. There was no Medicaid. Okay? There was no clinic, no rehab, no CHI, no University of Miami, none of that stuff. No one. And not only did he have no access to medical treatment, okay, it says no one was there to help him. There are some problems in life that have no known human solution. So you have a problem, so you talk to your friends, but they don't have the answer. You talk to your family, they don't have the answer. You go from doctor to doctor, they don't know what's wrong with you. You go from therapy to therapy, and all of a sudden, hours and thousands of dollars, you're still no better than when you started off. You read books, okay? You listen to pre-recorded messages. You listen to recorded talks. You go to different workshops. You go to different conventions. You change your diet, all to no avail. Why? Because the problem that you have cannot merely be addressed on human level. There are some problems that only Jesus can take care of. And so after you've exhausted all your resources, you come to the realization, I'm no better off than when I started. I've been going to this doctor for 38 years. And I'm no better now. That's why they call them practitioners. They're kind of practicing on you. Sorry, all due respect, I love doctors, okay? But what happens is that, you know, after you've exhausted all your resources, you realize, I'm no better. I'm still sick. I'm still depressed. I'm still unable to help myself. You still feel helpless. And to add, okay, and to make matters worse, there's no one that will help you. I think that that's probably one of the greatest causes of pain for this particular man. I asked myself a lot of questions about this guy. I asked him, why weren't you at the edge of the pool? Why didn't you just kick and crash, scratch and claw your way? And when that water, you know, and when that water stirred, you just kind of push yourself over. I don't know. Why? Where was your family? Where were your friends? Where were the people that are supposed to be there with you when you're navigating through difficult times in your life? But the reality of the matter is that there was nobody there. And I think that to me is one of the greatest heartaches sometimes that we face. Expecting someone to help us, but not finding anyone that will do so. The people that you thought would be there have abandoned you. The people that you thought would stick by you, they've left you. The people that you considered your friends, all of a sudden, they're gone. I think that sometimes, maybe in some cases, that brings greater pain than the grief and the problem you're going through yourself. Now, the problem with a lot of our problems is that we look for human help and find none. We look for human healing. We look for human resources. Okay? We look for human solutions. And we're much better off with the understanding that there are some things in life that only God can fix. Look at the person next to you and say, there are some things that only God can fix. Tell them. No, don't do the stuttering that I did. Do the other part. There are only some things that God can fix. Okay. And so we'd be much better off. We're much better off knowing that only God can help me. And the reason that this is true is because God created you. Right? And the God that created you is the only one that can fix you. I was getting ready when I realized that I was in over my head fixing that fishing reel. I was already thinking, okay, I have a box. I have a shipping address. I have a name of a manufacturer. I got to get RMA. Okay, return to manufacturer authorization. So I can send the reel because I know that if I can't fix it, I know who can fix it. Well, sometimes that's true in our lives, right? The one that made you is the one that can fix you. And sometimes you have to go back to the manufacturer, right? Sometimes you have to go back to the engineer. The engineer that designed you can fix you. Look at the person next to you, say, he can fix you. Now, don't get offended. Yeah. Maybe you better say, he can fix me. What do you mean he can fix you? Who do you think you are? Okay. But now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says to him, he asks him, he goes, do you really want to get well? The King James says, wilt thou be made whole? That word well, that word whole, comes from a word that means to be made complete. Do you really want to be made complete? He was asking this man, do you want to be complete? Right? That's a critical question. And the reason it's a critical question is because sometimes we get so used to it. I can imagine this guy 38 years, you've developed a whole new way of living. And sometimes we get so used to the insanity that we live in. We get used to the dysfunction of our homes. We get so used to the scandals and the addiction and the hostility, okay, that we find certain comfort in the way that we live. Because that's all that we've known. And so we learn to get by. We learn to get used to. So we learn oftentimes just to lay by the pool. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for something. What is that something? I'm not really sure. Waiting for something, right? You have a mat. What's the mat for? The mat's to make me comfortable. It's hard to lay on concrete. I want a mat. And sometimes we do that with our problems. We create mats for ourselves. We create little things that provide comfort for us in the middle of our disability, in the middle of our trial, in the middle of our problem. And what happens is that mat provides a certain amount of comfort in what? In our dysfunction. So we find comfort in remaining what? Chronically unemployed. We find comfort living chronically in poverty. We find comfort in living with chronic illness, with chronic sickness, and living with chronic depression. We find certain little things, little mats, if you will, little mats that make us somewhat comfortable. But they don't really address the problem, do they? And they don't really take away the heart of the matter, which is the emptiness and the isolation and the loneliness that we feel. Listen, gang, don't get used to living that way. Don't get used to living that way because there are better things for you. Don't acquiesce. Don't give up. Don't simply say, okay, I am meant to live this way. I am meant to live miserable. I am meant to live with this chronic sadness. I am meant to live, okay, with this sense of emptiness and the sense that I'm dissatisfied and I'm incomplete. There are better things for you, but you must never acquiesce and think that I have to stay this way, right? Don't get used to living with your chronic sadness, with your emptiness, right? I read an article this week about how complainers are the unhappiest people in the world. Well, it makes sense, right? But the article talked about how those who are constantly finding fault, never happy with anything, how that reveals the emptiness that is their lives. I find that telling, and I know you probably already know that, but I think it's worth saying that sometimes the people that murmur and complain and are the most critical are the people that inside are the unhappiest, and inside they're the emptiest, right? So Jesus asked the question, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made complete? Now this suggests something important. This suggests that we're not complete. This is our condition. There's something missing, right? There's something that's unfinished. And now there's reasons why many people never find wholeness. There are a lot of reasons why many people never find the place where they feel like they're complete, right? One of them is that in our society, we don't really know what being complete looks like. We've had very few people model that for us. We've had very few people that we've seen that have this sense of fulfillment, that have the fullness of the Spirit to such a degree that we're thinking, man, they got it figured out. They know it. And so as a consequence, what happens is that we go through our entire lives looking for wholeness, looking for something to complete us, but yet we never find it. And one of the reasons we never find it is because we don't really know what we're looking for. Some people equate a lot of different things with wholeness. I was reading on just a couple of items. Let me just run these by you. Some things that people equate wholeness with: health. You can be superior. Listen, you can be superior health, but you can be extremely depressed on the inside. You can be empty on the inside. And people, how much do people spend? It's a billion, multi-billion dollar industry. Why? To feel better. Yeah, and you do feel better, but you don't feel whole. Right? If you're healthy, you feel better, no doubt, but you don't feel whole. You don't feel complete. You don't feel like that missing ingredient, that missing part that we're talking about. You don't feel like that issue has been addressed. And so we spend countless hours and millions of dollars trying to bring health to our bodies and health. We go to join health clubs or people look for it that's in health. People look for it maybe in position. People look at, okay, if I could just read, if I could be an academic, if I could be more intelligent, and they find out that's not it. If I can just attain, to become the CFO of this company, if I could just move up the corporate ladder, and they come to the end and realize that's not it either. And how many people all of a sudden don't put so much stock in beauty? And they, you know, spend all their lives trying to look like me, and they can't. I choke it here, okay? But it's true. But you know, it's true. I mean, you're trying to relive. I'm trying to go back to when I was in my 20s. Go back to when I was in my 30s. And you spend thousands of dollars trying to relive that. And okay, maybe you feel better about yourself a little bit. But inside, you still have that gnawing sensation that there's something missing, right? How many people don't chase after certain dreams? And you know, nowadays, we've called it bucket list items. In other words, things that you want to do before you die, because we all know that when you die and go to heaven, heaven is going to be so boring. Right? I mean, yeah, but that's how we live, right? We live like all of a sudden, like, no, I got to do this now, I got to do this now, because once it's done, it's done. I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to play a harp for the next million years. Boring. And that's how we think. And so we spend so much time and effort trying to reach these certain dreams, and we're still just as empty as we were before. I read, and I think I shared this with you a while ago, about how they did a study among Olympic athletes, particularly Olympic athletes that won medals. And they discovered something very interesting. They found that they revealed that a large number of Olympic athletes that actually win gold, they sink into a deep depression after they win gold. That's insane. How? Because all of a sudden there's nothing else to pursue. You all know, and you might have known the story of Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps was at the top of his game, Olympic swimmer. He crashed big time. All of a sudden, you see him with all these destructive habits. And it says, if you read his story, you know, he was considering suicide. And he was doing things there in a way were slow suicide. So he checked himself in to a rehab. And there he comes across the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And if you need to watch it, you can watch that on YouTube. Okay, you can watch his testimony, basically how he talks about it changed his life. He was ready to take his life, but all of a sudden God gave him a new perspective. Why does this happen? Why does it happen to us? It happens to us because we chase the wrong thing. Chasing the wrong thing, thinking it's the right thing, we wind up discovering that it was all for nothing. Wrong thing, right thing, nothing. Right? How many of you guys have ever been chased while driving your car by a dog? Yeah. Is that the craziest thing? Have you ever thought about what that really means? A dog, a little dog is chasing me in my Jeep. What are you going to do if you catch me, buddy? So sometimes just for kicks, I put on the brakes. Okay, now what? What? I'll start getting all brave with the dog. What? And all of a sudden, he just stays there, and he's like, oh, wow, now what? I don't know what to do other than stay there and bark, okay? And stay there and bark. And you know, you think about that, and you think, a lot of times, that's us. We're chasing after something. We catch it, and we realize, whoa, what do I do now? It still doesn't address the immediate need, right? Some people spend all their lives looking for their soulmate. Come on, Jesus. Okay, the one person, my knight in shining armor, the one person that will fix it all, that will put it all together for me and make me complete. Thank God for unanswered prayer. Come on, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. And all of a sudden, they find the person that they think is the person, but they find out it's the wrong person, and now they're left with nothing. And they're devastated by it. Why? Like the man, I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me. And some people spend all their lives trying to chase the elusive dream of happiness, and they look forward in laughter, and they look forward in pleasure, and they look forward in partying and drugs and drinking and making money and blah, blah, blah. The list can be endless. I gave you just about, you know, 8 or 9 items, but you could really go on and on and on, because listen, the secret, and here's a secret of contentment, or here's a secret of feeling complete. The secret is not in things. The secret is in your spiritual life. Jesus said, what will it profit you if you gain everything? Okay, Matthew chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it if you gain everything but you lose your soul? How many people are not spending their entire, all their energy, all their life trying to earn something, but they pay very little attention to their soul? They're giving up their soul. Don't buy into this world's philosophy about what makes you happy and what makes you fulfilled and what makes you complete. Because the world will always leave out the most important ingredient. The reason that we are disconnected, the reason that we feel unhappy and empty is because we are disconnected from God. Let me give you the second example, the second story, and we're not going to deal with it long here, but I just want you to look at it in Matthew 19. It's a story of a rich guy, right? And the Bible calls him the rich young ruler. That basically means that he was an entrepreneur and he was in charge, probably had multiple employees and he had well, you know, he was living well. Okay. And it's a story of a man who did everything right. So unlike many people today, not many, but maybe some, many people today, his riches didn't come as a result of corruption or deceit or fraud. He made an honest living. And not only did he make an honest living, okay, he did just about everything right. Just about. Okay, there's an exception. But yet he still felt that emptiness, right? So he approaches Jesus one day. He says, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord immediately answers him, well, you know the commandments. Keep the commandments. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a disclaimer there. When the Lord says keep the commandments, he wasn't suggesting that you earn salvation by keeping the commandments. He was simply implying that keeping the commandments would show evidence of his salvation, of eternal life, right? But watch how the man responded. Look at verse 20 of Matthew 19. He says, all these I have kept. I've kept all the commandments. He says, all these I've kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? I find that to be amazing. Okay, I find that to be, you know, extremely intriguing because in spite of having it all, he still came to the recognition that he was missing something. There's something missing in his life. He was still with that gnawing feeling of dissatisfaction, feeling that there's something more to life than what he's been able to experience, right? Think about it for a moment. He's rich. He's young. He's religious. He's moral. He's every lady's dream man. Single ladies. Married ladies, you're off the market. All the ladies say, ooh la la. Okay. and yet you look at it and you look at him on the outside and you think, yeah, he's got it all made, but yet something was missing, right? Do you ever feel that way? You may have everything you need physically, but you still feel the pain of being lonely. You still feel the pain of being depressed or maybe being anxious or maybe feeling like uncertainty. You lay bed at night and you think, and man, you feel like I'm really unhappy in this situation. I'm unhappy with my job. I'm unhappy with the way things are going with my kids. I'm unhappy with, you know, my relationship with my husband or wife. And you think that, you know, there's something missing. There's something missing. And that dissatisfaction, that general dissatisfaction, okay, is the result of our broken fellowship with God. It began all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, okay, in the Garden of Eden. And when sin entered the world, okay, the result of sin, the consequences of sin permeated all of creation and affected us at every level. So we feel this dissatisfaction at every level in our lives, right? And this is what's caused humanity to feel like there's something missing. Like I'm incomplete, right? Now, in that disconnection, you're always going to find yourself dissatisfied. You're always going to look for things to fill that void. And you're going to come to the realization that they only fill it for just a little bit, just for a little moment in time. And then at the end, now what? Right? Now, Jesus knew that the man that said, what is missing? He knew that his problem was a spiritual one. Right? So listen to what he says. Verse 21. If you wish to be complete, there's that word again. Complete. Satisfied. Okay, be made whole. If you wish to be made whole, knowing that there's something missing, okay, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you're going to have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. About half of us right now are getting real nervous. And we're thinking, what does this mean? What does it mean? I want to tell you the heart of what Jesus is saying. Jesus discerned the need in this man's life. And though this man was morally upright, he realized that he was still doing it for himself. And so Jesus discerned in this guy, he discerned this deep-rooted selfishness that made him to be both religious and moral. Right? And his moral life contributed to his overall dissatisfaction. Now, I'm not saying that your moral life throw out the window, it doesn't count for anything. No, it absolutely matters that you live morally. But if you're living morally simply so that you can feel good about yourself, like, look how good I am, look how moral I am, then you're going to find yourself in the same situation as this man saying, I'm still lacking something, you're still empty. Right? Some of you have lived your entire lives for other people. Right? You've lived for your spouse and your children and your boss and your family and your career. And yet, having lived for all those, you right now, we were to survey you, man, you feel suffocated. You feel resentful, perhaps, even angry, right? And you might even feel misunderstood and underappreciated or, trapped, and emotionally you're spent. And maybe you might even feel ripped off. Like, I got the raw end of the deal here. And then some people come along and what they tell you is that you can have contentment, okay, but you have to start pleasing other people instead of yourself. So what you do is you set out to please other people. And as you tried to please other people, you know what you discovered? There was no contentment. Then you went to another person and they told you the key to being happy is to serve. So you set out on serving other people and you served and you served and then you evaluated your life and you said, I'm still not happy. And then somebody told you that you got to serve even more to the point of sacrifice. Yeah, that's the ticket, sacrifice. And so you went and you sacrificed and you sacrificed and you still didn't need me for a moment. Did those people give you bad counsel? No. Counsel wasn't bad. So why is it that you still felt so unfulfilled and empty at the end? It's because you did these things because you thought you can benefit from it. See, you were counting. And the minute you start counting, you lose the effect of it. Right? Your eyes all along have been on yourself. You think that these things can make you better. And yeah, they can make you better externally, but they could not make you better internally. And that's why there's still something missing. Right? They lack the ability to make you joyful. They lack the ability to make you complete. Why? Because everything you did was wrapped up in self-gratification. Okay, you're a little quiet here. I know I'm hitting you hard, but this is good. And I don't care if you don't say amen. I'm going to say amen to my own sermon. Amen, amen, amen. See, as long as we do it for ourselves, we will never be complete. Right? Our response will always be the same. I've done it, but yet I'm still lacking. Why do I still lack something? This is the reason why Jesus came. Because of my emptiness and my void and my lack of being complete comes from being disconnected from the Father, then Jesus came to remedy that by helping us reconnect with the only one that can in fact complete us. Right? And since the problem stems from not being connected with God, then I have to understand that the solution is to be connected to the one that can satisfy me. Why do you think that the Bible, particularly the New Testament, describes Jesus in terms like the bread of life? Bread satisfies. The living water. Water quenches my thirst. Okay, the way. I'm looking for things. I'm looking for objects. I'm looking for where's the missing ingredient? Jesus, I am the way. Why do you think it describes him as the door? I'm looking for, I don't know where, I'm looking for the door to walk through. Jesus, I'm the door. I'm looking for life, something that will add to my life. Jesus, I am the life. Right? Why do you think those terms describe what we are all searching, and they're all found in Jesus? Now look at what it says in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, great scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, and you are complete in him. Bam! There you have it. So all the things that we look to fulfill us, to complete us, all the things that we're thinking, is this the missing ingredient? Is this the missing ingredient? Come to find out, the missing ingredient is Jesus Christ. Okay, without him, your life, my life, not only does it not have any purpose, my life makes no sense and is not complete, right? Because only he's the one that can give me that purpose and that fulfillment and that sense of meaning. Now I have a theory, and my theory is that our sense of satisfaction is proportional to our commitment to Christ. In other words, if I surrender completely, then I'll be fulfilled completely. If I surrender partially, then I'll have what? Partial fulfillment. So, in other words, my satisfaction comes in direct proportion to how much I yield to Christ. Right? And only in Christ can I find that satisfaction. Only in Christ am I really something. I read about the story of a donkey. Donkey woke up one day, extremely energized. He was excited, because in his mind, I'm going to go and see some people. And so he goes to see some people, and he goes to a local town people, and he found a group of people that were by the well. And he's trying to interact with people by the well, and he says, I'm going to show myself to them. And he showed himself to them, but there was no response. And he says to them, now is a good time to bow before me. But still no response. Okay. And he's thinking, man, these people are a bunch of ungrateful heathens. So you know what? I'm going to go by the marketplace. So he goes to the marketplace to see if the people are different there. And as he's by the marketplace, he's saying, okay, people, you can start praising me now. Start worshiping me now. Nobody even paid him attention. In fact, some people even slapped him. Get out of the way, you old donkey. You stink. He's thinking, these bunch of pagans? Guess what? I'm going to go to the other town and find out if they're a little more grateful. So he goes to the other town, and in that town, he says, okay, you guys can praise me. Where are the palm branches? You can start putting palm branches before me. You can start waving them before me. Nobody even paid him attention. So he goes home all dejected, bummed out, thinking, man, it wasn't like it was the other day. Right? He tells his mom everything that happened. He's all bummed out. His mom says, you dummy. Well, see, donkeys can insult each other. That's what animals do, okay? So the mom says to him, you dummy, don't you realize that without the master, you're just an ordinary donkey? Right? Just like the donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. See, we are most fulfilled when we are with Christ. And when we try to find fulfillment, when we try to find praise outside of Christ, guess what? We don't have it. We're just an ordinary donkey. Look at the person and say, no, never mind. Don't say that. Okay. don't say that. Okay. We might get into a fist fight here. Okay. See, but think of what I'm saying here is that we are most fulfilled as we are in His service, right? And so as we connect with the Father, we begin to find fulfillment. God begins to remove the emptiness from my life. But now watch this, because connecting with the Father is contingent on me cooperating with Him. Connection is contingent on cooperation. Okay, so say that for a moment, suppose that you find somebody that you met for the first time and you guys kind of hit it off. You have a couple things and, you know, a few things in common. You said, okay, so you start to forge and develop a friendship. But then after a while, you begin to, you know, observe them and you realize that this person's kind of headstrong. This person's kind of very opinionated. This person never lets me get a word in edgewise. This person always shoots down my ideas. They always have to have things done their way. They're always forcing their agenda on you. And then after a while, you realize this thing is not working. I'm not really connecting with them. Yeah, we may have a few things in common, but I'm not hitting it off with them because they always have to have it their way. They're too domineering. They're too aggressive. The same thing happens with us when we come to Christ. See, we come to Christ, we're introduced to the Lord for the first time, and He connects with you. He hears from you, but He also wants you to cooperate with Him. And cooperation means what? You give and you take, right? Cooperation in a relationship, it can never be one person doing all the work and the other person just being dragged along by the neck. Right, there has to be a give and a take. And this, so the same thing that happens with us and the Lord, all of a sudden, he wants you to cooperate with Him. But what if you only force your way? What if you only say, it's got to be done my way? Soon after a while, you realize, I'm not connected to God. Why? Same reason, because you're too headstrong. Because you're too unwilling to obey. Okay, you're too unbending. Right? The greatest gift that we have to help us with this is the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit comes, and when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to your life, and one of the things that He begins to do is He begins to reprogram your conscience. Your conscience was programmed by society, by societal norms, by your family, okay? But now the Holy Spirit comes, and He begins to impart to you God's truth, and He begins to what? He's a new teacher. He's giving you new way of thinking, a new ideology, if you will, right? And so He makes His presence known in your life. And His desire, the desire of the Holy Spirit, is to help you to love God more effectively and to love other people as well. So how does this work? So let's say, for instance, that you are that you're a college student. So you're a college student, and right now, in a few weeks, most college students will be going through finals. They're doing their final exams. And you know, I don't know if you know this, but most final exams from most colleges are available online. And with a little bit of research, you can get a copy of what's on the final exam. Mom and Dad, I don't know if you know that, but that's true. Yeah, and a couple of college students says, yeah, it's true. Okay, so suppose you're a college. So now the time's passed, okay, you have access to the final exam, and all of a sudden, okay, you're about to get that finals exam to start your studying for it, and all of a sudden, something happens in your conscience. I got my phone on silence, but I still have it vibrating. And what happens when my phone is on silence, but the vibrating is on? It alerts me to when a text message is coming through. So all of a sudden I'm talking, and I have the phone in my back pocket, and what is that alerting you to? It's alerting you, it's giving you, you know, it's letting you know a message is coming in, a phone call is coming in, okay, some kind of news item is coming in, however it is that you program the phone. But see, the Holy Spirit works in a similar way. All of a sudden, you're about to do something that you know, maybe you've accepted that it's absolutely acceptable, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, the text message came in. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? Listen, I want you to be a person of integrity. I want you to trust me. I don't want you to pass this test by cheating. Wow. So let's say that you're a blue-collar worker. And you're a blue-collar worker, and maybe you're used to getting gas in your vehicle at the same time your company vehicles are being fueled. So your company vehicles are being fueled in the morning, early in the morning, and your good buddy Joe says, come on over, I'm fueling the van, and you can get gas for your car too. Everybody in the company, well, half the people in the company do it. The boss doesn't know it, and the boss doesn't look favorably upon it. But all of a sudden, what happens? You're about to go get gas. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in your conscience, in your mind, in your heart. What is he telling you? He's trying to reprogram the way that you think. And you know what he's telling you? He's telling you, listen, I want you to respect the owner. I want you to respect the company. I don't want you to steal. I want you to trust me for this. What is it? See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And here's the way it happens. Is that the more we submit to those those text messages that the Holy Spirit is sending us on silence, but yet you know it. The more you submit to that, guess what happens? The more you'll find that you're being fulfilled. It's at the moment that you stop obeying. It's at the moment that you are no longer complete. This is why Jesus tells the man with the mat, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. The man had to act in obedience to what Jesus says. Now, what Jesus told him for 38 years was impossible, but now all of a sudden it is possible. Why? Because God's telling you to do so. See, God will never tell you to do something that in your mind is impossible, that he's not willing to back it up with his miracle-working power. So when he tells you obey, understand that it's through your act of obedience, just like it was with this man. Through his act of obedience, the man was healed. The man was made whole. Something was no longer missing in his life. Why? Because he acted in submission to the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us become fulfilled. Here's a second way. The Holy Spirit brings to your memory the things that you read or that you study in God's word. Suppose that you're reading in Philippians where it says, don't be anxious for everything, for anything, but everything in prayer and supplication. Okay, so you read that, and so you pray and you go on your weary way, and then you go at work, and at work you get the news. Company's been operating in the red for the last 4 months. There are no paychecks going to be coming out this Friday. In fact, the company may file for bankruptcy. And what happens? The first thing that comes to your mind, fear tries to come in, anxiety tries to come in, and all of a sudden, you know anxiety is part of your life. You learned it from Mama Bear, and Mama Bear learned it from her Mama Bear, and all of a sudden you're trying to duplicate the same thing because that's what you've learned. But all of a sudden, as you're getting tense and you're getting worked up, all of a sudden, what did you read this morning? Comes a text message. Oh, I read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And all of a sudden, the peace of God that passes all understanding covers your mind and covers your heart. Why? Because you're in tune with the Holy Spirit. You're in tune with what the Holy Spirit's telling you. And your fulfillment comes from developing that relationship with Him. The more you walk with Him, the more you surrender to Him, the more you will sense the fulfillment that all of us are looking for in life. Today, the Lord wants to satisfy your soul. The Bible says that He is a shepherd. He satisfies my soul. But He does that as we respond to Him in faith and say, Lord, I've done all these things and I still feel shortchanged. I still feel like there's something missing in my life. Listen, don't leave here today. Don't leave here today acquiescing. In your mind thinking, I'm just going to live life near the pool with my mat because this is all I've learned. I'm telling you, there's much more. Don't continue to live as though there's a piece missing in your life. Yes, there may be a piece missing, but that piece is Jesus. And when you call out to Him and you surrender to Him, He will make all the difference in the world. Let me pray with you guys. Let me ask you to stand with me.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website, www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.